teaching ago. On the issue of learning how to control your thoughts, how to be more in control of your thoughts, there was a request to maybe talk about that. So I'm happy to do that. I don't know if it would be a shiur format or whatever. We'll figure it out. But if guys are interested in that, approach me afterwards, and we'll think about a time that we could do it and when and how. Okay, so just come to me afterwards. Okay, this is the fourth shiur in the series, and I want to talk about, you could call it Ratzon Hashem, that in the broadest way, but I'll explain a second in what I mean by that. So let's just call it the idea of Ratzon Hashem. Okay, so there's a statement of the Drasha Saran. The Drasha Saran, in last week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, he talks about, he makes a very interesting point regarding the Akedah Yitzchak. And he says, if you look at the language of Hashem telling Avram to do the Akedah, it says, Kach na. Esbincha, esichilcha, esyitzcha. Kach na. Right? So, I'm trying to figure out, what is this exactly? Is this a commandment? Is it a tzivui? Kach na means, please take. Please take your son. The Drasha Saran says that it was not a tzivui. Hashem did not command Avraham. And that if Avraham had wanted to, he could have said no. And there wouldn't have been any punishment for that. But the Ran points out that if it wasn't a commandment, what was it? It's that Hashem was making his will clear to Avraham, letting him know what he wanted, what he preferred. He was making his ratzon clear to Avraham. And Avraham, his whole life, was committed to figuring out what is Hashem's will, and devoting himself to doing Hashem's will, even if it wasn't explicitly stated as, I want you to do this. Okay? And there's a concept that comes up from here called Ratzon Hashem. In other words, there's an element of Hashem's will that goes beyond the mitzvos that he gives us. The mitzvos are the clear instructions of, this is what I want you to do. Right? But beyond that, there's a whole lot of gray area. There's a whole lot of undefined areas in life where we have to figure out what Hashem wants us to do, even though he has not explicitly told us. And the best mashal I can think about this is between a husband and a wife, right? You all figure out, Mr. Hashem, one day, that as husbands, you will be told certain clear instructions of what your wife wants you to do, but a lot of your job will be figuring out what she really wants, reading in between the lines of what she tells you, right? And your job will be figuring out what her ratzon is, what her will is, what will make her happy, which is something that you'll want to know, but you'll have to figure it out. So with us and Hashem works the exact same way. And our job is not just to be kind of like observant robots and do exactly what Hashem says. Our job is to think about, what's Hashem's will? What has he not told me that I have to figure out that I think he would want? Okay. We also have this concept elsewhere in Chazal, in the Gemara in Yevamos, and also comes down in Gemara in Shabbos, where it says that there were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Chazal used the phrase, Hiskima Daito, the Daito Shel Makom, where his das was in agreement with Hashem's das. In other words, he was able to intuit and figure out, or kind of line his das up with what Hashem wanted. One of them was breaking the luchos, there were other ones. And because he tuned himself in to Ratzon Hashem, he was able to figure out what Hashem wanted, and he did that, and Hashem gave him the haskama, you did the right thing. But it was never explicitly said. We have this concept of figuring out Ratzon Hashem in Pirkei Avos, Asei Ratzoncha Kiritzono, right? What does it mean, Asei Ratzoncha Kiritzono? Make your will like Hashem's will. Apparently, there's a goal, as a Jew, to line up your will so that you want the things that Hashem wants. Again, back to the metaphor. The husband wants to get to a point where he wants the things that his wife wants. He's figured it out, and then he's internalized that to the point where, I now want that because she wants it. Okay. Why is this such an important concept that I decided to give a whole shiur on it? Why is it important to figure out Hashem's will? The highest calling for a Jew is to be a conduit for Hashem's will in this world. In other words, if you can make yourself into such a person where you are executing, you're bringing out Hashem's will in this world through you, then that's, you're fulfilling the reason of why you're here. Hashem's put you here because He didn't design a world that His will should be, where He carries out everything that He wants to happen here on His own. He gave us a mission to figure out His will and then put it into play in the world. He allowed us, the Gemara Shabbos talks about how we are a shutaf, we're a partner in the creation of the world. It doesn't mean that we were there when the world was created, but it means that the world that gets created every second, Hashem involves us and makes us a partner of that. But you can't be a partner with somebody if you don't know what they want. Right? So us being a partner with Hashem means we try to figure out, and then we become messengers or conduits, shlichim, of His will in this world. We become His mouthpiece, so to speak. So it's a very, very high calling. But what I want to focus on is why this is so hard. What gets in the way? Right? Everything I said until now is pretty standard and pretty agreeable. We all want to be lined up with Hashem's will. But what gets in the way of this? Okay. What gets in the way of this, and we're going to do a little psychology here. Starting. Okay. What gets in the way of this is that we get attached to the things that we want that pull us away from lining ourselves up with the things that Hashem wants. Okay? We get attached to a lot of things such as physical pleasure, popularity, money, approval, fame. And there's a whole list of things that we get attached to, and we get so attached to these things and we want them so much that we devote ourselves to seeking them. And you can't seek what you want and what Hashem wants at the same time, unless your will is lined up with Hashem, and then what you want is what He wants. But before that point, we get attached to things, and those attachments pull us away from seeking what Hashem wants. Now, why is it so hard to give up those things? Because that's essentially what we're saying. If I'm going to devote myself to trying to line up my own ratzon with His ratzon, I'm going to have to give up other things that I would be pursuing. Okay, so for example, if Hashem wants me to do X, and instead I want to pursue money in that same moment, I'd have to give up my pursuit of money in that moment to follow what I think Ratzon Hashem is. Why is it so hard for me to give up the things that I want? And I want to give a bit of a deep explanation, but I think it's a very, very important yesod to understanding yourself. When a person gets attached to something, it's often because that thing he's running after is filling an internal void. Okay? And let me give a couple of explanations. In other words, there's something inside that's a need, or it's empty, or it's missing, or it's lacking, and you're looking to fill it with whatever it is you're running after. So, for example, let's say a person feels unsure of himself, and he looks, and that's a hard way to live, feeling uncertain about yourself. So you look to fill it by running after the approval of other people. Okay? And that becomes one of your primary pursuits. I want everyone to like me. And that can become a primary pursuit that dominates a person's entire life, making sure everyone likes me. Where is that coming from? It's coming from some internal missing, lacking, something going on in there that he's trying to fill. And he fills it by pursuing this thing. Another example. Person feels unseen and not important, okay, which is a very, very hard way to live. So how's he going to deal with that? He satisfies it by running after attention, right? The more attention he can draw to himself, the more he's going to feel important. Okay, a third example, a person feels a lack of power or control, which is a very hard way to live. I'm not in control of my life, totally powerless. That's a hard way to live. I look to fill that by running after power and money. Okay? A lot of the times when you look at things that you pursue and you kind of dig around in there, you'll find that those pursuits are coming to compensate for something in you that's missing. So what are we going to do with that? Because it would be irresponsible to take away the pursuit without somehow dealing with the thing that it's coming to compensate for. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, let's just, Lamashal, let's say I have a person in a hospital bed on an IV, and I want to get him off the IV. It would be irresponsible for me to pull him off the IV if I haven't compensated for the nutrients that he's getting for the IV. I have to introduce food into his life. If I haven't compensated for that, then I can't pull away the thing that he's using. So if we're going to figure out how to let go of these pursuits, which are getting in the way of lining ourselves up with Rasson Hashem, we have to figure out how to deal with the underlying need. And that's a piece of the puzzle that people don't realize. And sometimes we'll say to ourselves, or we'll hear it, you know, from people, is that you have to let go of your pursuit of money, or let go of your pursuit of people-pleasing, or let go of your pursuit of popularity, or let go of your pursuit of attention. Well, it's not so simple, because you've been doing those things, you've all do those, for good reason, because you're filling some real need on the inside. So what are you going to do? So the idea here is that we're trying to figure out a way. Well, I would say, I guess, the assumption is that every one of the internal needs or voids or holes that you're trying to plug with whatever you're pursuing, there's always a better way to meet that need that is more in line with Hashem's will. Okay, it's a very important understanding here. Every single one of the needs, let's say you feel, you know, whatever the things I said before, you feel not sure of yourself, or you feel not important, or you feel not in control, or you feel not loved, or you feel not whatever, not adequate or not competent. Those are very important real needs, but the way in which we've been fulfilling them pulls us away from Ratzon Hashem. So we have to find a way, and we're given ways from within the Torah and from within Ratzon Hashem to help satisfy all the things that are lacking. And there's two important assumptions here. One important assumption is that Hashem wants us to be emotionally healthy. Hashem wants all of us to be emotionally healthy, so we don't feel whatever these voids are inside. The second assumption is that Hashem has given us a system and a framework that provides for our emotional needs. So every single one of the things that's missing inside, whatever it is, there's a way to do it that doesn't pull us away from whatever from Hashem's will. And our job is to replace the things we've been chasing after with healthier ways to satisfy those needs. Is that clear? Okay. So if there's something that you're pursuing and you want to stop pursuing, let's say physical pleasure. That's an easy one. Okay. You're going to have to say to yourself, what need is it coming to satisfy, and how am I going to deal with that without this way of satisfying it, which has been unhealthy for me until now? What did you want to ask? No, I wouldn't say the word bundle of needs, but we do need certain things. In other words, like, everybody needs to feel a certain amount of importance. Everyone needs to feel loved. Everybody needs to feel a certain amount of power and control in their lives. You know, powerlessness is a very painful feeling. Everyone has, and I'm not saying the word bundle of needs, but these are our things that we do need. I mean, we would agree that we have physical needs. We all need food, you know, sleep. We all need that. So there's emotional needs we also have. They're just as important. It's just that when we don't get those, we find all kinds of ways to satisfy them that don't allow us to pursue Ratzon Hashem. Okay? I'd like to make the argument that this is what tefillah is about. Okay, tefillah is about replacing the things that we are pursuing with wanting the right things. Okay, tefillah, let me explain what I mean. We have this Gemara, this Gemara Rosh Hashanah, who talks about four Rosh Hashanahs. There's four Rosh Hashanahs in the course of the year. One of them is on Pesach, one of them on Shavuos, one is on Sukkot, one is on Rosh Hashanah. And this is Gemara Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tes Zayin, Amud Aleph. First the Mishnah, and then the Gemara talks about it later. And the Mishnah says that on each one of these Rosh Hashanah, it's Rosh Hashanah for something else. So on Pesach, it's Rosh Hashanah for Tzvua. On Sukkot, it's Rosh Hashanah for Mayim. Rosh Hashanah, we know, of course, it's Rosh Hashanah for people. The Gemara later on brings a formula, and it says that on each one of these Rosh Hashanahs, whatever it is that the Rosh Hashanah is for, you should be makriv that thing to Hashem. Okay? So, for instance, on Pesach, since it's the Rosh Hashanah for Tevua, we have a Korban HaOmer. Okay? On Sukkot, since it's the Rosh Hashanah for water, we have a Nisach HaMayim. Shavuos is a bit of a harder one. It's the Rosh Hashanah for fruit. we bring the Shtei HaLechem, and Rashi tries to figure out how does Shtei HaLechem correspond to the Rosh Hashanah for fruit. Fine. How about Rosh Hashanah itself? Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah for people. So are we makriv ourselves? How does that work? So the Gemara says we daven, because davening is a hakrava of you. When we daven, what we do, and this is what it means, that when we say that the tefillah is keneged korbanos, it doesn't just mean that we used to have korbanos, we had to find something to fill that void with when we got rid of korbanos, so we brought in tefillah. No, it's the same thing. Just like hakrava, right, you're offering something to Hashem. And the Ramban talks about how, the Ramban is brought down by Sefer Chinuch, but Ramban talks about that when you're makrif something, your mindset should be, certainly with the chatas, your mindset should be, this animal is being offered to you instead of me. I should be offered to you instead. I'm offering this animal, right? Because a korban is supposed to be an offering of yourself. In place of korbanos, we daven. Because when you daven, you're offering yourself. Now, how are you offering yourself when you daven? How do you offer yourself? The answer is that every time you daven, let's think about what the crux of davening is. The crux of davening is Shmona Esrei. What's the crux of Shmona Esrei? The middle brachos, where we ask for things. When we ask for things, we're being makriv of ourselves. Why? Because before you enter davening, you have all the things that you're pursuing, all the things that you want, all the things that you're running after. When you enter into Shmona Esrei, and especially the middle part, which is the crux of Shmona Esrei, what you're saying is, I'm shedding the part of me that wanted those things, and I'm learning how to ask for the right things. That's what tefillah is. The act of learning how to ask for the right things changes the person. Tefillah is supposed to be a transformational process. That if I learn how to ask for the right things, I'll be lining myself up with Ratzon Hashem, which is my goal in this world. But I can't do that most of the time, because most of the time I'm running after a whole bunch of other things that have nothing to do with Ratzon Hashem. They have to do with Ratzon Atzmi. They have to do with all the things that I want to pursue, my own agenda. When we go into davening, we say, Hashem, I'm putting my agenda on the side, and I want to learn how to ask for the right things. And the act of asking is what trains me in that. Okay, so we daven thousands of times in our lifetime, hopefully. And the reason we do it so many times is because it's very hard to transform ourselves internally to want the right things. But when we come to want the right things, what's the result of that? We're lined up with Ratzon Hashem. Okay? So I'm saying that there's a two-part process going on here. One is learning how to let go of the things that we don't, that are not good for us, and filling that void. But then how do we then take on the things that are good for us and want the right things? That's what we do when we daven. And there's a lot of different ways that we see this. Even the Lashon of Tefillah, Rosh Shmuel Hirsch talks about how Lihit Palel comes from the root of Palel. Pilel means to judge oneself, to self-reflect. The act of Tefillah is supposed to be a self-reflection. You're looking back at yourself and you're reflecting, where am I in relation to Ratzon Hashem? Am I astray? Am I somewhere else? Or am I here, in line with Hashem as well as I'm supposed to be? Am I tuned in? Have I reached alignment? Have I aligned myself? The Lihit Palel is that self-reflective process. We also see it in the fact that Shema comes before Shmona Esrei, right? Because what are we doing when we say Shema? We're declaring that I'm an Eved Hashem. Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, right? We need to be reminded of that every single day, multiple times a day. And when I remind myself that I'm an Eved Hashem, it kind of like shakes me. Okay, hold on, I forgot. I'm an Eved Hashem. And as an Eved Hashem, I now am prepared to ask for the right things in Shmona Esrei. Right? Tefillah is called Avodah Shebelev. Why is it called Avodah Shebelev? Lev, the heart, is the place in the body that wants things. All your desires come from your heart. They come from Lev. Right? We're learning on how to want the right things. So when we daven, we're literally transforming our heart. We're saying, instead of pursuing these things that we want, I want to pursue these things, which are the right things to want. These are the things that I should be wanting. Now, I'm not saying you can't make personal requests. Obviously, yeah, that's a different topic. How do you make personal requests? What I am saying is that we're trying to change our frame of mind. A lot of times, the things that we want have nothing to do with what's really important, right? We think that they're important because they're filling an emotional need, But when we've satisfied that, we can line ourselves up with what's really important. And I think this also answers the question, it's a famous question everybody asks, but it's most famously brought down in the Sefer HaYikarim. Sefer HaYikarim asks, when you daven, can you really change Hashem's mind? Very famous question. Can you? What's the point of davening if you can't change Hashem's mind? Right? It's like a manavshach. If you deserve something, Hashem's going to give it to you because you deserve it. Hashem is a just God. He acts with justice. And if you don't deserve it, so then what good is asking for it going to do? You don't deserve it, so you're not going to get it. So what's the point in asking for things? Why do we daven? We can't change Hashem's mind. Based on what we've said, we have an answer to that. When you're davening, you're not changing Hashem's mind. You're changing yourself so that you become the kind of person who deserves the thing that Hashem wants to give you. Right? And let's think about it. Like, Lamashal, if there's something that I want to give to my child, and I think that I really want to give it to him, but he's not ready for it. I see he won't be able to use it properly. I'm not going to give it to him. It wouldn't be good for him. But if I see that he's now become the kind of person who could use what I'm going to give him, what I want to give him, then I'll be very happy to give him. I always wanted to give it to him. It's the same thing. Hashem has many things that he wants to give us. But if we don't know how to use the things that he wants to give us, he's not going to give us to them. When you learn how to ask for things and you're changing your ratzon, you're making yourself into the person who can use the gifts that Hashem wants you to have. But that's what I mean, that tefillah is a transformational process. And now, I think what's clear in what I'm saying is that we're not talking about just learning how to say the right words. There's no like magic key that if you say the right words of tefillah, you get showered down with like bracha and hashba. It's not that. Changing the things that you want is fundamentally difficult. It's not like, okay, I can fake Hashem out. If I ask for the right things and I say these words, a magical formula, and I'm going to get the things that I want. No. We're talking about an internal process, so that when I ask for Barech Aleinu, that's probably the easiest one, right? Barech Aleinu, right? So I'm asking for Parnassa. But it's not just that I have to mutter these words, right? I have to learn how to ask. Now, I might be stuck in a Kochi V'Otzem Yadi form of asking. I might be in a form of thinking, where I think that Parnassa comes from me, and that it's all within my power. And so it's completely a stira, where I have my own agenda of how I plan on getting Parnassa, and then I ask in Barech Aleinu for Hashem to give me Parnassa. Who am I fooling? I'm not fooling Hashem. I can't fool Hashem. The only way for me to really change is to change my perspective and where Parnassa comes from. Right? That's a fundamental shift. It's very hard to break out of a Kochi V'Otzem Yadi perspective. It's very hard to break out of that. And it's like that with everything we ask for. I don't have a lot of time because they're kicking me out soon. But I want to come back to the... First of all, are there any questions on this concept that we're saying right now? I think this is such an important understanding of, first of all, our job is being Ovdei Hashem, what it means to do Ratzon Hashem and make that our will, but also what it means to daven. I think this is a big, big part of just understanding what davening is. Yeah. What? Mevatel yourself for Hashem. It's similar to that idea, but it's, I think the way that bittul is often misunderstood, and it's not, the concept in its proper form does not include this misunderstanding, but people misunderstand the idea of bittul, that it means that I don't exist anymore. Like I'm nothing, and I just, you know, that's not what we're saying here. And the reason is because when you make yourself a kli, when you make yourself a kli for Ratzon Hashem, you have just become extremely important. And that understanding of the importance of your role is very important. It's important to know you're important, right? So what I'm saying is that being a kli should give a person a sense of chashivas. So it's not bittul in the sense that I'm not important. It's bittul in the sense that I'm not here for me. I'm here to serve a higher purpose and a higher calling. Right, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz used to refer to a person as a tzinor, which is a pipe. Every one of us is a pipe in a certain way, and there's a certain element of Hashem's will, the things that He wants to bring into this world. He funnels that bracha into the world through each of us. There's a certain amount of Hashem's bracha that can only come into the world through you and through you and through you and through me. And my job is to bring that into the world. So if I have something that I can offer to the world, and I figure out how to do that in a way that is fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, I've now increased Hashem's presence in the world. There is nothing greater than that, than bringing Hashem's presence into the world through my actions. Someone had a question? Hand was up? No? Okay. There's another point I wanted to say on this. Oh, that's what it was. The Pasuk and the Mishnah also talked about that. Pasuk says that we're Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, right? That we are sons of God. In the beginning of this whole series of Shirin, we talked about the idea of Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim, the question of Nefesh HaChayim is, what does it mean that you're supposed to look like God? Does it mean you can't look like God? It means you're similar to God in your actions, as we talked about then. When we say that we're Banim L'Hashem Elokeichem, that we're sons of God, so we know that when you look at a son, you often can see the father, right? That part of being a son to Hashem doesn't mean that when a person looks at us, he should get an image of what Hashem looks like. No. It means that when a person looks at you, he should get a little bit of a sense of what Hashem is like. Okay, what does that mean? Because when you line yourself up with Ratzon Hashem, right, you start to display Hashem's will in this world. And just think about your own experience. You probably have met people that when you look at them, you interact with them, you have a sense that there's a little bit of godliness there. There's a little sense of otherworldliness in just the way this person appears, in the way that he conducts himself. You see that there's something more to this person than just the flesh and bones in front of you. You see that there's something higher in this person. It's very hard to pinpoint it, but I think all of us know it when we see it, that there are some people like that. So what? Why? How does that happen? What is it that this person is carrying with them that makes them like that? I think this is the answer. That when you make yourself into a kli, right, and Hashem's will is flowing through you into this world, so Hashem's with you in a more concentrated way. There is more godliness in you, and you bring that into the world. And people see it. People feel it. I also want to say that it's an exhilarating concept. So if you think about it, when you have lined yourself up with Hashem's will, yes, it's true that you have to give up some worldly olmazeh pleasures to do that. But what you gain from it is something so much more exalted and so much more exciting, because it means that you have this sense of Hashem flowing through you, and you're fulfilling a higher purpose and a higher calling, that the things that you're doing are furthering the world in the direction that Hashem wants you to go in. So I think this kind of wraps up the series and the shiurim. And it brings us back to the starting point. You know, the starting point where we started all this was talking about Tzelem Elokim and bringing out your fullest potential. And I think the ending point is that full potential, what it's supposed to look like, is that all of us really are a kli. All of us are here to fulfill something higher. And all of us have a unique way of doing that. When we do that, and we do Aseh Ratzoncha Kiratzono, so we literally become partners with Hashem. Every moment that we're acting, every moment becomes a moment of Kedusha. Every moment becomes a moment of purpose. And leads to a life full of meaning, full of depth and happiness and joy. So I hope that by raising some of these ideas, some awareness of these, we can not just take them as concepts that we're thinking about, but ultimately find ways to translate them, lamaisa, into our own lives. That's the hope. Shkach, guys, thank you all very much for coming to the shiurim. I really, really appreciate it. I was told 6:50, I have to end, so we're good. A minute early.
Pleasure.
How's the way?